What a week it has been. You know, you think about the shootings in Las Vegas. What a stark reminder of the evil in the human heart. You know, one of the things that we heard so frequently was the surprise that someone who had so much money could do such a thing. As if money were all we needed. The truth is that our deepest need is the one who comes after us when we stray. Our deepest need is Jesus. And all the difference that could occur in this world if he were truly taken to heart. We need to pray for his kingdom to come, don't we? We need to be about that. That needs to be the purpose and direction of our lives. After the week it has been, it will do us good to take a closer look at Jesus. There's something about him. There's something that, we miss it sometimes because we think of who Jesus is and why he came. We think of what he did. And often we focus on these words from the prophet Isaiah. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It's true, right? That's so much a part of who he was. But that was while he lived on this earth. And if we only look at that part of it, we're going to miss a much bigger picture. Because the truth is, and John tells us in the beginning of his gospel, he was with God in the beginning, right? And where God is, his word tells us, is fullness of joy. So, if you take a closer look at Jesus, you see that behind his eyes. That's why we have the picture that we do on the bulletin this morning and the graphic for the worship service of Jesus kind of looking down and laughing. Because yes, he was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, but so much more than that. He is the eternal God, and the laughter of the eternal God flows through him. Sometimes while he walked this earth, you see it breaking through, just like the sun coming through the clouds. And that's what happens in our scripture this morning. Take a look in Luke. Here we are, the 10th chapter. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, the many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and wanted to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So you can see it just in those first 11 words, can't you? Jesus, what? Full of joy. Let me go back there. Through the Holy Spirit. He said, I praise you. Jesus did everything that he did out of love for the Father. That was what was behind it all for him. This eternal, unlimited love that nothing could stop. That's what kept him going. And this is the relationship that he came to lead us into. This is what is to be our life in him. Take a look. He said in John 15, 9 and following, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that what? My joy may be in you and your joy may be 1 hour on Sunday mornings. So that your joy may be when you hear that worship song and you're feeling good. Maybe we should get back to the Word of God and read it right. So your joy may be complete. Complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. So this is joy that flows out of love. And this is what you and I are meant to be immersed in and filled with to overflowing. You know, the Christians who look like they're baptized in lemon juice have it sadly wrong. And they do a disservice to the gospel. You know, every once in a while we remind ourselves of this, but let's do it again. Could you just sort of entertain me for a moment? Go ahead and just clench your fists, would you? Now curl your toes as tight as you can. Now get all, you know, just tense your muscles. Go ahead. And now say it with me, will you? Joy. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes that's kind of a living metaphor, right? For the church today. Man, we are meant for so much more. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I mean, it just doesn't work, right? Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but only because he came to conquer the sadness of sin and bring us into the joy that never ends. That's who he is. That's what he came. Why he came. That's what he is about. He came to dive into the worst of it. And lift us up and bring us out the other side. And that's the meaning of the empty tomb. Jesus dives into death and brings us up alive. That's the beauty of who he is. And you see, the world's dirty little secret is that sin at the heart of it all really is sad. It really is sadness. And we are blessed to have a God who comes after us when we get caught in that place. And it's so tricky because, oh, sin promises us joy, doesn't it? Oh, your life is going to be so good. You are going to be so happy if you do this. And then it leaves us in chains. This is personified best probably by no other than Hugh Hefner, the leader of the so-called sexual revolution who died a little over a week ago. Did you miss that? I didn't hear about it until actually this past week. And you know, as you look at something like this, I want to be careful because the truth is that it is by grace we are saved through faith. And this not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. But let us learn as we look at the world around us. And listen to what this editorial writer in the New York Times said about Hefner's life. The arc of his life vindicated his moral critics, conservative and feminist. What began with talk of jazz and Picasso and other signifiers of good taste ended in a sleazy decrepitude that would have been pitiable if it wasn't so exploitative. It concluded by looking at our culture and saying that the rot Hugh Hefner spread goes very, very deep. Another columnist called his lifetime achievement a legacy of despair, which is even now ripping kids from parents and husbands from wives. You look at the pornography industry in our culture today and the effect that it has. Make no mistake about it. This is too true. And not worthy of mention except that it shows us again the very reason that Jesus went to the cross. The context of the verses, well, hold on. The scripture verse that we read earlier, let's go there for a second. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him. See that? Would you read that with me? For the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Don't miss that. See it? That's why Jesus did what he did. For the joy set before him. Jesus said that he came to do his Father's will. That was his joy. He wanted to live for God, because in living for God, oh, he's completely free, right? And he knows that because he is God from the beginning. And what does he tell us? If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so instead of sin holding us in these chains, which eventually will drag us down and make us prisoners and break our hearts, there is a Savior. Jesus knew where he came from and where he was going, and he longs to lead us there. You know, the context of these verses that we read in Luke, Jesus had just sent out 72 of his followers. And they were doing amazing things. And when he sent them out, they came back and they were filled with joy. They were excited. They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us. And then look at what Jesus says in response. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice your name that your names are written in heaven. And then he goes on. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So, do you notice how Jesus says that the Father is pleased? Take a look. Because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. It makes God happy to give us himself. It makes God happy to fill us with his Spirit, to fill us with his presence, to fill us with his joy. And oh, we need to remember that. Because while sin promises us just, you know, oh, you'll be happy right now. Look at the way Jesus lives. He's always looking forward. Rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Jesus came to show us that you know, in a world that's been corrupted by sin and sadness, that it was never supposed to be this way. He came to show us what God intended from the very beginning, that you and I could live in a relationship with Him. And that's marked by joy. It's marked by it. And I know in some ways, you know, that sounds like such a churchy word, joy. It's real. It's real. And that's why, you know, you find people saying, oh, there's just nothing better. There's just nothing better than being with Him. Once taste God, and only God will do. I love the way the hymn writer put it. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. I love that. And I would ask this morning, humbly, gently, as the harps play from heaven. You know, G.K. Chesterton said that angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. But seriously, when was the last time that you sensed, yeah, I've got joy? Some of you may remember the song we used to sing as kids in Bible school years ago. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Oh, if you haven't been there in a while, you can get back there. And you know, I know, yes, we're wired in different ways. We, you know, we struggle in different ways. But God, He knows us. He knows how we're made. He knows exactly the circumstances that you and I encounter as we live. And He made us for Himself. And as we just get before Him, as we give up, you know, that oh Lord, it's going to be my way, you know. As we set that aside, as we say, yes, Lord, please. He has a way of meeting us, and He has a way of meeting us in unexpected places. You know, you might be praying that way, and then you feel like, oh, I don't feel any different, because it's not about feelings. But then half an hour later, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, oh, there you are. The God that we serve loves us so much. He doesn't want us to stay stuck. And He wants us to look ahead to Him. And we have in Him so much to look forward to. Think about it again. Jesus, for the what? Joy set before Him. endured the cross. And look at the way he wraps it up. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. May we pray. Oh Lord, keep us moving there. Keep us moving there. We thank you that you will, as we follow you, and we praise you that when we stray, you come after us to bring us back into joy. Lord, thank you that you are joy, you are love, you are peace, you are everything good. Lord, thank you that you satisfy our souls and that nothing can satisfy us like you can. This morning, if you sense God is just knocking on your heart's door, I'll let him in. We have choices to make every day, don't we? But oh, the choice that matters most of all is to turn from our sin and to turn from ourselves and receive what only Jesus can give us. Complete, unconditional love, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. He knows us and he loves us so far beyond what we can imagine. And a new life that is just blessed with that love, filled with it, founded on it. And if you've been away from him for a while, you've received him, but you've been away, oh, you can come to him. Yes, Lord, yes, just tell him. I want to follow you. I want to live in your peace, in your love, in your joy. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.